Welcome back to Bench Tested, a Ghostbusters podcast, the show where we go beyond the finished prop and into the people, the engineering, and the ideas that make this hobby one of the most creative communities anywhere. Every Ghostbusters franchise has its own identity. Some focus on costuming, some focus on charity, others push the technical side of the hobby to places nobody thought possible just a few years ago. Today's guests have managed to do all three. The Capital Ghostbusters have been serving their community since 2016, raising money for CHEO, the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario, while constantly raising the bar for what fan-built Ghostbusters equipment can become. Whether it's heavily modified HazLab packs, weathered uniforms, costume PKE upgrades, or designing an entirely new electronics platform for their franchise, they're not content with leaving well enough alone. They're builders, they're problem solvers, and they're creating gear that's designed to be used, improved, and shared. Today I'm joined by Ryan, aka McFonz, and Rennell, as we talk about where the Capital Ghostbusters began, their evolution of builds, what goes into designing a custom ECU from the ground up, and why the best projects are never really finished. So grab your proton pack, tighten your Alice straps, and let's head north of the border. This is Bench Tested. Guys, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Charlie? How are you?
Oh, doing good, doing good. Rennell, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm just, you know what they say? I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We're all excited to be here, especially in today's day and age of Ghostbusters. I mean, there's so much going on out there. But I want to get into it. The Capital Ghostbusters, you guys have been around since, what, 2016 or so?
That's correct.
How did the franchise get started? What was the vision from day one? How did this all get to where it is now?
So I can't take any credit for the group's creation or the fact that it has lived this long. But the story, the legend goes, it's kind of like scooch up to the campfire. The legend goes that there was two gentlemen that thought it would be a great idea to start a Ghostbusters group because it was their favorite film. And they ended up getting a booth at a convention, and it was like a magnet, and that slowly started accumulating other people. You know, like how a planet is created, right?
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of particles and dust and stuff like that that spins around a gravity well, and eventually it spits out a planet. That's a little bit how the Capital Ghostbusters came to be. And now we're like 34, 35 strong.
That's awesome. That's a lot of busters.
Wild.
And that's just over the course of these past 10 years that you guys have been able to garner up that much attention and all these different folks. How is it when you've got all these different minds coming together and putting together, you know, their costumes, their builds, and that's the cool thing I would think about it, is that you get to share all your different ideas and different packs and stuff like that.
I mean, on a good day, it's like herding kittens, as it is with any creative types, you know, getting together in a room. But once you've got all those pistons firing more or less at the same time, you know, everyone's cyclotrons are in sync. You know, some pretty cool things start happening. And I have to say, I haven't been in the group the longest here, but we have some genuinely talented people. I mean, within the sphere of Ghostbusters themselves. But I mean, we even have a member who's got a PhD in lasers.
Oh my God.
Right? Like
you're not too far off from building a legit containment unit.
Believe me, we keep floating the idea, but the licensing costs are astronomical.
Oh yeah. There's always that little thing right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
And then you've got people with tremendous amounts of passion, like McFonz over here, who comes in with that energy and that passion for helping doing just about anything to advance that cause. And we are just genuinely lucky.
Yeah, that's what is the coolest, is that you've got all these different folks that, you know, are able to bring in their different expertise. And, you know, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, it's from one area that you know, just out of far left field, and then you've got somebody else coming in who brings something else, and then seeing those ideas come together and mesh well
coalesce.
Is a whole, yeah, right? Like, I mean, that's a whole different thing. You know, one thing too that I also admire about you guys is the huge emphasis that you guys put on fundraising. Mm-hmm. What is your biggest charity that you fundraise for?
We fundraise exclusively for Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario.
Oh, that's
cool. CHEO up here.
That is correct.
And yeah, that's like first and foremost our mission. Rennell came up with the great tagline, Bustin' Ghost, Raisin' Hope.
Oh,
and it's just,
it.
You know, we want to go out there and like we want to put smiles on kids' faces. You know, we're putting tons of smiles on dad's faces.
Bringing back the nostalgia for them, for sure. And then they see that. And, you know, that's got to be a cool thing, too, is that when you're out there, you're doing this for an awesome charity like that. You know, these kids, these children who are able to see you guys show up in your packs, your flight suit, all that stuff. That's, and seeing their faces light up, I imagine that that's got to be cool for them to have probably heard from their parents, oh, the Ghostbusters, and they watch the movie, and then an actual Ghostbuster shows up there in their room, and to see them, like, that's got to be a cool thing.
It's pretty cool to see sort of where the age of adoption or the age of introduction to Ghostbusters is for families. You know, a lot of like the really small kids, you know, the parents grew up as fans, of course, and you know they're starting their kids out on the cartoons, right? So
yeah.
they're watching the real Ghostbusters. When they get a little bit older, maybe Extreme Ghostbusters, and eventually, you know, when they get a little bit older, they'll be able to watch the movies themselves. And so it's just really cool to see them enjoy something. Again, the cartoons, you know, those are not exactly from last week, right? And it's still entertaining. It's still captivating for these people. And it's, you know, some of the props that we're able to build, the uniforms that we're able to build are so realistic looking, you know, that there are tons of people, kids and adults, who come up to us and they're like, are these real? Like, are these actually are you actually a Ghostbuster? And if so, what do you do?
Yeah, because, you know, if you're outside, like, the community, like, if you don't know, if you just know Ghostbusters, the movie, Ghostbusters, the cartoon, and you don't know that, like, Spirit Halloween and Fun.com and HasLab are putting out these packs, the first time you lay eyes on them, it's wild. Like, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
To see, like, it looks like it's straight out of the movie.
Yeah. And yeah. and with the creativity that people have put into modifying, weathering, you know, even Ryan here and his hand bespoke real Ghostbuster jumpsuits that he's been making at home, you know, like that kind of makes you feel like, whoa, the cartoons are becoming even more realistic nowadays.
See, and that's when he was showing me pictures of what he has done. I mean, dude, those things,
yeah.
that's
dude.
Incredible what you're doing with those, because that's just like a level of detail that I feel like I would see it, but I feel like there's something I would miss. And I think looking at the suit that you put in most recently, and I think you did it for your kid, right?
I did a Janine's Genie flight suit for my daughter. Because
that's
it's
awesome.
The, you know, this year's the 40th anniversary of
yep.
RGB.
Yep.
And that was like my test run. I was like, I really want to make my own RGB suit. And so I wound up with a Venkman, and I was just trying for a Zedmore, but the baby blue just wouldn't come out.
Picturing Ryan here with a giant pot, like a witch, just cooking
with a cauldron
suits. Right?
Yeah,
that's right, a big cauldron.
Oh, absolutely, that's exactly what I look like.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah, giant stick, giant wooden
yep.
stick, just stirring it up.
Slimer, you know, floating around.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Little bit of cat's hair in there.
Yeah.
Little bit of poison. Then there you go. That's awesome. That's so cool. But so, what was the process in coming up with that? You said you kind of aimed for something different, but it came out a little the
yeah.
other way.
Well, you're absolutely right. It definitely is poison, because I have to use RIT dye more synthetic dye.
Oh man. And, I've never had good luck with that stuff.
Oh, I inhaled so much of it over the past week or so. But I took just the proper brand flight suit off of Amazon. It's like $100 Canadian up here.
Yep.
I get some color remover. I washed it with the color remover a couple times, and then I put it. I tried to use like baby blue dye, and now I got my I had gotten the suit like pretty light. Put it in the baby blue dye, and it just turned gray. I had a perfect screen accurate GB2 suit.
I was going to say, it sounds like you got a GB2 suit out of that.
But I was like, you know what? This isn't the direction I want to head in. And I had actually spilled some dye on part of it. And I was like, I got to go dark. I got to go with a Venkman suit. So I just grabbed a couple bottles of brown. I put that same suit in. It came out the perfect Venkman brown. And then yeah, I took acrylic paint, some Mod Podge matte glue, and some dye-free fabric softener. I mixed that together on a 2-to-1-to-1 ratio, mixed it up. When it dries, it's nice and pliable, like it's not like scratchy. And I just painted the collar. And then the proper suits only have this nice little triangle kind of tab.
Yeah.
On the cuff. Yeah. So I just painted that little tiny patch that comes off, because that's like a separate piece of fabric.
And it
pops. Painted that. I gave that a little green treatment, and I took my, I took my pant legs anyway, so I wasn't worried about that. And I think it came out pretty good.
I also
just did a GB2 suit, but I didn't go gray, because for uniformity's sake, our Capital Ghostbusters, everybody who does a GB2 suit does a navy blue. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be on board with that. We'll all look the same. And I just finished stitching up my GB2 suit here.
That's awesome. That's
ready to rock. Cause I grew up watching that on VHS. Like I saw that in the theater on opening weekend.
Yeah.
I was 5 years old. And then I watched it on VHS for years, and I swore up and down that those suits were navy blue. So,
Yep. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people kind of felt that way, because it does. It has that navy blue, look to it. And fortunately, I noticed that as I look at like proper and true spec and some of those that you can get on Amazon pretty easily, they do come in navy blue. So if you are looking to get a GB2 suit and you want to stick with the idealized suit, then yeah, I guess, your navy blue option is definitely there. And but if maybe you're looking to get something more accurate and you need somebody to kind of mess it up for you, McFonz is right here. He can make it for you. No, that's so... Hey, our boy Jay Harry might be hitting you up for that, though. I think he's in the market for a GB2 suit. Yeah.
Jerry and Leto, they are, they're some of, the best cheering section I've ever had. Because I send them and Troy my stuff. And those guys, they just keep egging me on to make more. So...
Keep
rolling with it.
No, for sure. And just to kind of give everybody a heads up, what we're talking about is Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. It's a game that if you are a Ghostbusters nerd and you've always wanted to live out the passion of being a Ghostbuster, but, well, maybe you just can't afford a $1 billion pack, this is your opportunity to do that, is to get the game and play that. But this is they're a fun group of people. We play with them all the time. And McFonz and Jay Harry, Leto, Troy, great folks over there. So, and Team Bassmasters, by the way, some big champs, over here going out. So
that's right. Shout out Bassmasters. We're starting up season 10 right now.
That's true.
Bassmasters.
That's true. I am. I'm kind of sad I'm not in the season this go around, but, hopefully you guys will pull it out again and get another win on that. It'll be a lot of fun to watch. And again, if you're a fan of the Ghostbusters period, you got to get out there and you got to go check this out. Get the game. I think right now it's on sale for like $5,
Oh my gosh. Can't beat that. It's crazy.
It's a lot of fun. But yeah, so there, it's cool to have those people in your corner who can always cheer you on, especially when it comes to just different stuff out of the blue that you may come up with. And yeah, you're right. Jerry is one of the guys that does the same for me. I've do a lot of builds myself. He loves watching that kind of stuff. And it is, to have those people in your corner is definitely fun, especially with like you and Rennell here can, well, team up and put your heads together. And that's when I hear that this containment unit, which actually McFongie sent me pictures of, this looks incredible. How much of this was already done before you guys picked it up?
So the structure was built by our original two founding members of our group.
The founding fathers.
That's right. So again, scooch up to the fire, to the campfire here. The legend goes that it was built in someone's apartment out of mostly 2x4s, some MDF, a lot of ectoplasm. and was painted and it was sanded and assembled in someone's apartment. And wow. I don't know if the photos really do justice to the scale of this thing. But it is massive. It is not just the core containment unit. It comes with its own brick wall.
Yeah, I was looking at that and the facade on that is incredible. Yeah. For a second, I'm like, how did they get this backed up to a fireplace and it, where, you know, maybe they're just working on it. That seems a little close for all this wood. And then I realized, no, that's part of the containment unit. Like, that's awesome to see. Like, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to the detail, to see this.
It's a showpiece.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. And you guys are going to take this to events, I assume, or you're going to keep it down to like just big events because of the size and scale of it, or how are you going to do this?
It's mostly for big events.
Okay.
Just because it comes, it is 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, about 6 large pieces that assemble into the containment unit. So to bring it to some small events, if you do not have the floor space for it, nor the vehicle to transport it, it is cumbersome at best to do. It is a multi-person job to assemble and move it. So for the most part, it is at the Ottawa Comic Convention here in beautiful Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. That's where it lives in our booth during that entire convention. Sometimes there's some other events throughout the year that are big enough. We were invited the last couple of years to a special Halloween event here in Ottawa at the City Hall. Okay. We were invited by the mayor, and it was phenomenal. Families of all sizes were invited to come participate. And it was like a haunted house. So there was like a maze inside of the City Hall buildings. All the lights were down. There was smoke, there was decorations, and we were, you know, the welcome wagon to everyone. So, you know, there was a couple of us with our PKEs and we're sweeping for valences on the crowd. They think we've got metal detectors and we're like, no, come on in. You know, we're giving out candy. So that was really cool. So that's another occasion where the containment unit lives. But the problem is, the containment unit has lacked some specific important functionality.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's been mostly a static prop for the last couple of years. And what Ryan and I are working on is definitely going to be something strange in the neighborhood.
I mean, like, can I get a little hint, maybe?
Let's just say it will be fully functional.
Okay. All right.
We are not afraid of drilling some holes and making some proprietary upgrades. One of the small projects that I've worked on for our group as an internal fundraiser to help, you know, operational costs, is I've actually made everyone badges, ID badges with RFID chips in it. And so, you know, everyone's got their photo on it. I've made readable barcodes. We've got QR codes that bring you to the Chio donation page. And we were going to have the ability to scan our badges at the containment unit, which will essentially act as the equivalent of turning off large breakers, which would trigger certain events within the containment unit.
Oh, that's cool.
And some people, depending on their, you know, their rank or their position within the group, the containment unit may act differently to people swiping their badges there as well.
Okay, so an unauthorized user, you may definitely get a notification that they're at the containment unit, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then we've got a whole back-end portal, which will, you know, be a prop in itself with a custom-made web UI. With some animations and some liberties that I've taken with the Ghostbusters universe. So we're gonna try to set up either an iPad or a tablet of some sort where it's interactive, so it updates dynamically based on what the containment unit's doing. It's gonna be pretty cool. Once it's ready for prime time, we'll make sure that Ryan posts some photos. And maybe some little video clips of what we've put together.
Yeah, I was going to say definitely do that because I would love to get that out there, to put it up on the website, show people what it is that you guys are putting together, and just maybe spark some creativity in somebody else who's looking for something for their franchise, or, you know, hell, maybe at Halloween, something that they could put up for Halloween out there for, you know, when the kiddos are coming up to the door. That's maybe they could have candy inside the containment unit. I don't know. I'm spitballing here,
but there's tons of ideas.
Yeah, there are. There's so many cool things that you can do. And one thing you mentioned, iPad, and one thing I did want to touch on was McFawn's decided to go out to Walmart and he found a DVD player.
So yeah, I found a little portable DVD player at Walmart in the discount bin. Marked down from 70. I got it for $40.
Wow.
And it's just a little, you know, I haven't seen one of these in years. Portable DVD player, clamshell. It's got the, you know, the 180 degree spin on the screen there. And I decided to get, you know, people hanging out at the booth, get kids lingering around, try to hit their parents up for more, you know, fundraising money. I turned it into a in-universe piece of Ghostbusters tech. I just used some, you know, regular old burnt sienna paint, some black paint, some silver paint, and some yellow electric tape and an old sticker sheet that I had for a proton pack. And I made this thing look, you know, like a piece of our gear.
It looks in-universe.
Yeah, no, and I'm looking at the photos now. Like, I mean, it is incredible what you can do with that. And that's the whole thing, is it doesn't need to be straight up out of the movie or you know, even out of the animated series, for example, for it to be in universe. It's all about what you make it, you know, because I mean, let's be honest, at the time they're not going to be throwing around DVD players at that time. I mean, come on.
And there's only so many gadgets that we've seen in the films or in the cartoons, right? So at a certain point, the inventory of potential material, you know, that you can build one to one, you kind of run out of it, right? So you kind of have to expand upon that and take the spirit of what was made and apply that to potential other ideas and objects that we can either build or find or assemble or whatever.
Yeah, and I think so many people who are into Ghostbusters, they get kind of scared of doing that because it's not canon. It didn't happen if it's not canon. Come on now. Let's be honest.
So here's my feeling on the subject.
Yeah.
When it comes to Ghostbusters and like the expanded Ghostbusters universe, all right? Like, it's established in Real Ghostbusters that the Ghostbusters movie is a movie about the Ghostbusters, right?
Yep.
So if we follow that same logic, everything happened, some of it didn't happen as much, all right? The video game happened as much as you want it to happen, okay?
Right.
It could be canon to you. It doesn't matter. The timelines diverged at some point. It just doesn't matter. We can all appreciate that there's three different Spider-Men on screen, right, at once.
Yep.
We can appreciate that the Ghostbusters have been in business for over 40 years. Sometimes things are going to look a little bit different than they did on the four original Busters. And if you just keep that in mind, just do your own thing. As long as you're having fun, you're a Ghostbuster.
Yeah. And that's the key, as long as you're having fun. And I think sometimes folks get in their head about that and you got to kind of step out of that box. You know what I mean? And I think that when you look at the universe of the animated series, even Extreme Ghostbusters, you look at all that, and even
the IDW comic run.
The comics
is some of the best Ghostbuster stories you'll ever come across are part of Eric Burnham's Ghostbusters run for IDW. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Guess who shows up? The Real Ghostbusters, the Answer the Call Ghostbusters. The movie the Extreme Ghostbusters are in it, you know?
Yeah.
The Ninja Turtles show up at one point.
Pretty sure Optimus Prime shows up at some point as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got him on my shelf right here.
Yeah.
I got Ectotron, but, I think his name is.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, the way I look at it is, listen, you are a diehard fan and you want to be yourself as screen accurate as possible, go for it. If you've got the talent and the patience, the resources, the time to build every single thing that you want to be as screen accurate as possible, phenomenal. Good for you. I mean, you've probably done a phenomenal job and great. That's a great contribution.
Yeah, more power
to
you.
Yeah.
But
yeah, exactly.
Each their own.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you know
if
what
you want to wear, if you want to wear a Dickies tan shirt and some Dickies tan pants and a Kenner pack on your back, I'm still going to stand next to you and and say that we're the Ghostbusters. Like it doesn't
matter.
We have
a Lady Stay Puft marshmallow person.
See, and I think you got to have that mascot in your group, you know?
Absolutely. It's important.
Yeah.
And she runs the show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Nobody mess with Stay Puft. Yeah, that's right. She's the boss.
Yeah, that's when you know who's
the traveler is in charge.
That's right.
The traveler has come. That's what we love. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this, because my favorite piece of equipment that the Busters all have, I think is largely everyone's favorite, is the Proton Pack.
Mm-hmm.
McFonz, you mentioned that your first build was actually the Proton Pack hanging on your wall in one of the photos that you sent. Is that right?
That's Rennell's pack.
That's okay, so that's Rennell's pack.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you.
Yeah, the red one.
Now, let me ask this. Looking back at it now, what does that project represent to you, Rennell?
Oh, boy. Is that ever a heavy question? Well, like a lot of kids from the late 80s, mid 80s or 80s in general.
Yep.
I grew up loving Ghostbusters. I would get up and watch the real Ghostbusters on Saturday. Of course, it was reruns by that point, but I would watch that Saturday morning and I just loved it. And my parents at some point bought me the Kenner Proton Pack and the trap. And I don't even the gadget that Venkman uses where he's pumping it and stuff like that. But there was like a stick that extended with Velcro on the end. And you could catch ghosts with it and put it into the little box. I don't remember what the name was, but
the sniffer?
I had one of those. Yeah, there you go. The sniffer.
The sniffer.
I had one of those too. I loved it. I mean, I wanted to be a Ghostbuster as a kid.
That's
and
awesome.
Then at some point, I kind of grew out of the toys, you know, cleaned them out, gave them away. And when I saw that Hasbro was crowdfunding the Afterlife pack, I saw an opportunity to fulfill a childhood dream.
Yep.
I have a few childhood dreams that I would love to fulfill. I've been lucky enough to actually accomplish quite a few of them. And when that pack arrived, I had no idea what I was going to do. I knew, though, that I wanted to make that pack my own. I did not want it to be, you know, like everybody else's. I wanted to be something special, something that expressed who I was and that I could use my skills. You know, before we started the episode, we were talking about working in radio. Well, you know, that's my background, right? I've got electronic abilities and technical abilities. I wanted to be able to infuse that into this project. Now, there was a lot of influence from my fiance as well, who was like, if you're going to spend money on something like that, you had better put it to use and join a club, dress up, go somewheres. She's like, you are not leaving that hanging on the wall. So true to that suggestion, we went out. Then that's when I discovered the Capital Ghostbusters. And, you know, it had been almost a year since I'd gotten the pack before I joined them. So I was, you know, I was building and modding this thing without yet having really a home for participating with this. I didn't have a flight suit. I didn't have boots. I didn't have anything else. But I had this pack. And the first chance to be able to, like, put this 35-pound beast on my back and flip that switch and just feel that rumble of that cyclotron spinning up, you know, from the speakers that I've got in there, was like the biggest grin on my face. Like, you know, it was amazing, and it was a learning experience. Like I keep telling Ryan, I cannot draw myself out of a wet paper bag, And I had to learn to paint. I had to learn to weather. I had to learn like layering techniques to make it look metallic, you know, like all of these skills. And I did spray painting and painting in the winter. And for those who are not familiar with Canadian winters, it is cold. It is much colder than you should be using paints, you know, aerosol paints outside. So I would go outside, spray paint it, bring it downstairs into the basement where it's warmer by the furnace and let it cure downstairs, right? The poor dog, you know, the fumes she probably inhaled through all of this. But it was honestly, it is one of my proudest and one of my favorite things that I've had a chance to work on, and it means so much to me. And when I'm able to share that with people, and then they can participate in that, wow, that looks cool, and inspire other people to try to do that. I mean, for me, that is worth its weight in gold.
That's awesome. I loved seeing the pack that I got the picture of from Thank Ryan you. Here. I mean, it looks incredible. And I love that you know, it's like we were talking about, you know, it doesn't need to be, everything doesn't need to look like it's straight from the movie. It can look however you want. And I noticed yours, it has a red bumper.
That's right.
What?
Yeah, it's a Canadian refurbed model, right?
Okay. All right.
In the universe, you know, we've gotten some older packs and we've kind of had to update them. And,
yeah.
You know, it's seen its day out, and you know what? You know those cars that drive around where they, you know, one of them's been written off, so they had to take a door from a different colored Honda Civic and
swap it on the car? That's right. Yep.
Kind of like that.
Yep. Yep. We've all seen those zebra Honda Civics out there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's incredible. Yeah. I think we've all had it. That was my first car. It was an Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra. And let me tell you, the side door of that was, it was bronze while everything else was gray. Kind of in universe, but it looked a little awkward.
Yep.
Especially when you got your car keyed because you piss someone off at school. Yeah, that wasn't fun, but you know, I digress. It's a lot of fun looking at this pack, and it looks like you definitely, I mean, it's all in universe, and it looks incredible. And I notice your trap there. Is that the HasLab trap as well?
That is a two in the box trap hanging on the wall there.
Nice.
It is due next for modding and making my own. But the containment unit has been taking so much space up in my lab that the Capital Ghostbusters R&D lab is quite full at the moment with projects that need to be worked on. So
I know. I see Slimer there. Over there in the box, just kind of chilling upside down. He's just waiting to come on out.
Yeah,
party.
Exactly. Yep. So many ideas. Not enough time. Not enough space.
I know. Exactly. So what was the most important thing that you felt that you did to your pack that everybody else... You think, you know what? Yeah, you guys can appreciate that too. What is it?
I think, I mean, hats off to HasLab and the work that they put into that Afterlife pack, because you know, out of the box, if all you wanted was to be able to wear a proton pack and go out and do your thing, you know, it was ready. Like it was great. And it was just so accessible for all of the, you know, what they do. They made 25,000 of them, 20, like in the 20 grand range of packs. And, you know, that was phenomenal. But to take it to that step further and make it look real, you know, like I wanted to be able to get almost nose close to it and be like, oh, that looks legit. It was the layered paint techniques that made a big difference. And I think I got to give credit to, I got to give credit to everybody on the HasLab Proton Pack Facebook group. The countless people that have given me advice and feedback and stuff like that, couldn't have done that without any of them. But I cannot remember who specifically. It may have been Adam Savage or it was someone on the page. I can't remember. But, you know, taking it completely apart, every single hose, every single piece of what looked like metal is now metal or brass or rubber, real rubber. And then stripping it down piece by piece, priming it, putting a layer of silver spray paint on it using a latex masking fluid and then painting multiple layers of either like matte black and then some oiled bronze on it, and then rubbing that off to give you that chipped silver look.
Yeah,
like that makes it look real.
Yeah, and looking at it now, I mean, how much did you use Rub and Buff at all?
Nope. Man. That's the one thing I did not use was Rub and Buff, and I have some at home. Like it was hard to find too, and I bought it, and I'm just like, no. Between just like you mixing like a Japanese ink with a little bit of water, some floor polish to kind of just dirty it up with some rags, and then you clean it. That made a big impact. A lot of there's a paint company out of Spain, and they made model paint, Green World, something like that. It's been so long since I finished this, you know, and they had some phenomenal paints that were chrome.
Yeah.
So some of the chrome pieces on the cyclotron cake. Chris Hunt, shout out to him, who did my Ghostbusters Janine Bell, the button.
Okay.
Ryan was admiring.
Got a picture of that for you, Charlie.
He also had plans for the inner cyclotron cake. So it's all painted inside with different paints. Offered me a lot of advice of what he was using on his. That whole learning curve, and now if you ask me to do it again, oh geez, I feel like all of that got put into a containment unit.
So you wouldn't even crack it open to go at it again?
Oh, there's updates that need to be done. Yeah, definitely. I've got an attenuator that I need to assemble. I need to weather. I did all the wiring in it. There's even some fiber optics inside of my pack that I.
Oh wow.
I used. Yeah, I went. I have a habit of over-engineering and kind of going big or going home on some stuff. Again, ask Ryan. He can vouch for that. So maybe if the mood struck me and I had space on my bench, I would maybe try again.
Would it smoke if I overheated the pack?
That is the one mod that I did not do. And
really?
It's a very practical reason. Most of the places that we go to, you can't use it.
Oh.
And so I was like, what's the point of putting this in there? And I don't actually get to use it.
Yeah.
So I'd rather put my money and my efforts towards something else instead.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think like here at FanX in Salt Lake City, I'm pretty sure I probably shouldn't be using it, but I can't help it if I overheat it on occasion. You know, I'm just...
Right?
There's,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's the thing. You'd be so inclined, like, to do it.
I know.
Yeah. You know, like, you'd be like, I've done this. Like, I gotta show it off.
Yeah,
like,
right.
The places that we go... Like, it's not really, like, feasible. It's not really, like,
yeah,
possible.
Yeah, like, we're super lucky next week. We were invited to go to Chio, and we're going to spend some time at a children's hospice, for kids who are not able to go to summer camps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the type of situation, you know, there's oxygen tanks and there's, you know, kids with breathing problems and stuff like that. So, you know, it was almost not worth it because I feel so strongly in what we do and the reason for why we're doing the group that I was just like, I'd much rather, try modding the trap or adding more internals, you know, like Ryan never got photos of the inside of the cyclotron. You know, I put a lot of effort into that. I want to make another cyclotron cake itself. And wire it up standalone, you know, more of as a prop and that kind of stuff. So I'd rather put my efforts into there than something that, you know, maybe I can use in my office without setting off the smoke detectors. Again, scare the dog, the poor dog.
Yeah, I know. That dog sounds like he's been through a lot.
Yeah, she definitely has.
Getting stoned with spray paint in the winter. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm also going to need a photo of your pack hanger because that looks pretty sick. I'm gonna
be
honest.
Definitely custom made. That was that is some 2x4s, some like 3/4-inch plywood, some black like road case carpet, some spray paint, and hooks that are meant for like weights.
Yeah, you talk about over engineering. I think you might have done it on that, but no.
That thing's not coming off the wall.
Yeah, no,
it's probably going to have to live with the house when we sell it.
Comes a proton pack hanger. Yeah,
with a proton pack hanger on the wall. Yeah,
I love that. And the Ghostbusters logo, Omoogly, up there at the top. That looks pretty good too. I like that.
Isn't that amazing?
Is that wood?
It is. And, you know, I feel like I should have prepared the name of all of these people because it's a great platform to talk about this. But this was my fiance who found this at the Ottawa Comic Convention. It was a local vendor and he makes signs. He makes these beautiful Star Trek comm badges all out of naturally colored wood. So the sign is not painted. All the wood he used are actually those colors, and they're just varnished, like, clear-coated to seal.
That is insane. Yeah, that looks beautiful.
It is amazing. I wanted to try track him down and get him to make me a reboot icon like that as well, because I'm also a reboot fan, if you know what that is. And if not, you should definitely look into it. There's another rabbit hole for you. But, yeah. That's another one of my favorite artifacts in my office.
Just a sidebar on Reboot, Charlie. So Reboot is an animated show, and it's like 3D animation. It came out about a year before Toy Story. Yeah. And it's a Canadian show. So Canadians up here, they go nuts for Reboot. They all love it. This is the
first 3D animated show ever on TV.
Like Canadian animated series.
It takes place within a computer.
Within the World Wide Web.
Right.
From 1994. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to. Oh, it's only 4 seasons?
Yep.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to look into that because that looks interesting.
On YouTube.
Nothing
on
to do YouTube. With Ghostbusters at all, but now I'm intrigued. So I'm going to have to.
Not at all.
I'm going to have to step on over to that.
Hooked. I have no doubts.
No, going back to the logo, I think that looks incredible, especially the fact that you're saying that that's just solid wood, and the only thing on it is a varnish. I mean, does he sell on Etsy? Because he may have another customer, I'm just saying.
I'm going to track him down. So when Ottawa Comic Convention comes up this fall, I will track him down there again.
Good deal. And
September 11th to the 13th, everybody.
Oh, okay. That's perfect.
Ottawa Comic Con.
And also, we'll have all these photos up over at BingeTestedPod.com. So everybody's just wondering. They're like, oh, my God, what's going on? Yeah, you'll be able to see them. Don't worry. They're all up there at BingeTestedPod.com. That looks incredible. And I want to get into your suit, McFonz, because I am seeing this. You've got it weathered. You've got it slimed. You've got it all kinds of dirtied up. What was your thought process in going through that to make sure that it wasn't overdone, but it was just the right layer of weathering you got done? Because it looks incredible. Like, I wouldn't change a thing about it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The slime actually is just like dollar store slime that.
Like in the little plastic jug dollar store stuff?
Yeah. And what I do is, like, when I want to be slimed, I'll take that stuff and I'll just jam it in. Like, I'll let it, like, dry on the suit, and it leaves, like, those green streaks. So those will come off. Like, I can just, like, you know, easily, like, hand wash those off. I change them up from time to time. And then all the weathering on my flight suit is, I mean, it's fake. I've just taken things to make it look dirty and really like grunge it up. I've used like a lighter. I've used some like caulking, like clear silicone caulking. Use wire pulling lubricant, a little bit of spray paint, some old coffee grinds. I know I'm forgetting a few things, but I kind of just threw the kitchen sink at it, and I kept playing with it. And I've gotten it to the point now that I am like the dirty Ghostbuster. Like I'm also the rookie in CGB. So they break my shoes and they say, I'm the only one that does any work around here.
Yeah.
Because I am filthy.
We hand him the pile of
But I just wanted, like, a, you know, I wanted to look like a buster who has worked, has, you know, been through it. Like, I tell people when they're like, oh, how come you're so dirty? Everybody's so clean. I go, oh, I just got here. Like, there was, you know, something going on down the street. Like, it's, you know, fun, like a little back and forth with people. You know, gives somebody something to talk about when, you know, because a lot of people just kind of stare at us in awe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm much dirtier than anybody else. Like, they kind of approach me and they're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, right.
Like, oh,
yeah. Yeah, if I had no clue, I'd go to the dirtiest member because it looks like they've seen some things, you know, like that something's going on. What's up? No, it looks incredible. Like, I mean, that's
and like, you know, I play awesome. A lot of Spirits Unleashed. So, yeah. Like, you know, I love the weathered suit in there.
Yep.
And while I did it, I watched Frozen Empire, like the first time that I did it.
Inspiration.
And to really get a feel for like where the grime would wind up.
Yep.
You know, like to see like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, a bunch of it's going to be like sitting right here. And then just like, you know, like in my mind, just be like, all right, well, you know, Venkman's shoulder was just absolutely covered right before they hire Winston.
Yep.
Like, so I went with that. I was like, I don't really want to touch my Moogly, but like, let me get my shoulder like really gunked up. And then also like a little bit on my Alice frame there, like I've got some like dried slime on that and on my motherboard, you know, just to show like, you know, I've been through the thick of it.
Yeah, no, and that's just good. Just extra stuff that you just keep your eye out for that just kind of brings the attention elsewhere and people can look at all that. Like it is, it's so much more to it. And I love that you used the movie for your inspiration, like actively having it on while you did that, because I think that definitely adds a little bit more character to everything you're trying to put together, because it just and that's the other thing too, is that Adam Savage, who I think all of us in the builder community, maker community love, we always reference him at some point, but he had a lot of really good behind the scenes stuff and some really good close-ups of a lot of their suits. Like they were talking to some of the prop makers and the folks who worked on the suits and all that kind of, like you just really got in there with the camera, and it was perfect because you're right. They kind of explained the process of how they went through and were looking at how the suit would be worn. Mm-hmm. What would be the dirtiest part? Where would the slime hit? You know, that kind of stuff. I think that's incredible. No, it came out really well.
And you definitely get the impression that they never do laundry either. Right. You know, like,
yeah, I mean, come on, look, it's a flight suit at the end of the day, right? It goes over everything you're wearing. So, you know, if you take it off and you know you're going to have to put it back on later, you know.
Just Febreze it a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, just, it. You know, spray it down with some Febreze, maybe a little bit of Bounce. And
hang it outside the window for a little bit for about 30 minutes. Good as new.
Yeah, see, exactly. There you go. It's no issues at all. None at all. I love it. Now, I want to find out when you guys look at the rest of your equipment. We talked about the packs. We talked about what you got on your suit. You get all the way down to the bottom and we're looking at your boots. How important is it to really get those, you know, in the universe, or does that too need to be screen accurate? Where are you at with your boots?
I can take this one.
Yeah, go for it.
I've just got a pair of jungle boots, like Vietnam style tactical boots that I wear. You know what? Nobody's looking at your boots.
Yeah.
Like I get it. People want jump boots.
I'm looking at your boots.
People want jump boots.
Not in a bad way.
Ahead, go out and spend the scratch on that if you want. If that's your bag, absolutely. But again, we're Ghostbusters. We're supposed to be the real world version, right? Ghostbusters has been around for 40 years. The equipment's going to be a little different, you know? Sorry, they didn't have jump boots in my size. I got big feet. I get these Vietnam tactical boots.
Yeah, yeah. See, there you go. See, and that's the thing, is that when you find something that looks... Because I assume that you're wearing those in the photo that you've got right here pointing at the camera, right?
Yep.
Yeah, see, those look legit to me. Like,
can you tell? You can't tell.
No, that picture. Not at all. Like, that's the whole thing. And again, you want to go for screen accuracy. If that's your thing, go for it. If you want to spend the dough, by all means. But you don't need to do it. And you could easily get a brand new pair if you're looking for something in-universe that has the side zip and all that stuff. Bates on Amazon, they got them for like $90. I was just looking at them today. You know, so I mean, yeah, there's so many different options. You don't need to go out and seek these, you know, $200-$300 used 1980s pair of boots that have someone else's funk in them. You know, like it's not necessary. Come on, let's be honest here.
I've gone through two pairs of footwear. So when I first joined, you know, I really wanted the paratrooper boots.
Yeah,
I wanted those. I wanted that side zipper also out of practicality, because I'm like, oh, that's going to be so much easier to put on and tuck the pant leg into there. Couldn't really find them within a reasonable amount of money, you know. And so I got like a pair of like almost just above the ankle, just like security boots. It honestly, it really wasn't it wasn't turning my crank gen. It was not.
I'm gonna use that from here on out, by the way.
Thank you.
Let's go into my arsenal.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, royalty free. Use it.
I love it. Perfect.
And so what I ended up doing is I found a army surplus place here in Ottawa, and because Ottawa is the capital, there's a lot of Canadian Armed Forces people, and I found a pair of used CAF, short for Canadian Armed Forces. A used pair of calf boots that were already broken in, that were leagues more comfortable than anything I would have bought on Amazon. You know, they had like legit arch support and stuff like that, because that's what they're meant for. You know, they've got like the higher collar on them. They've got like 1,000 feet of lace, so you can actually tie your boot, tie it around your boot. Your pant leg is never coming out of that. And I just polished them now. And they're great, and they're comfortable. Comfort is underrated, because if you are trooping and you're doing conventions for multiple hours a day, do not overlook the comfort factor. Your feet will thank you. As someone who used to do trade shows a lot for a living, that's important.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My boots, I've got like three different like insoles in them. Like I stand like 6'1" barefoot, and in when I'm a buster, I'm like 6'4".
You have
like
hold on,
so much cushion.
You've got three insoles in your in your boot.
I've got three like nice cushy. Well, yeah, I've got the one that they came with.
Yeah,
and then I've got two different like Dr. Scholl type, like real spongy guys in there. My boots
like
are
memory
so
foam type stuff.
Yeah, it's like wearing sneakers. I love it.
Bro's over here on stilts, and I'm over here on flats. Like, come on. He's literally above me right now. That's crazy. That is so good. But hey, you know, you're right, though. I mean, comfort is key, and I think if you're going to be out, especially not even if you're going to be working a booth, but if you plan to go to any of these conventions that are oftentimes, you know, you're talking about the one that's coming up in September for you guys, there's several days. And if you're going to be trooping out there for several days, yeah, you got to be comfortable, especially
with
like that's like
multiple
prime heat too.
Dozens of pounds of unlicensed nuclear accelerator on your back. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Well, speak for yourself, buddy. I got a spirit pack. That thing weighs in at about 3.5 pounds. It's lovely.
Yeah, you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, would you do it again, taking everything off your pack, Rennell, and just kind of going at it. I was thinking that maybe I kind of want to buy a spirit pack when everything's, you know, done for the year for Halloween, and just kind of get another one and just kind of do exactly that. Something that I didn't do the first time, strip it down, paint it, just make it look awesome. I think that might be kind of fun. So yeah, you may have inspired me to do that inadvertently. Telling me you wouldn't do it makes me want to do it. So
I was tempted with an 84. Trust me. You know, I know that's a contentious subject for a lot of people right now. I was tempted, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't do it. I would make it look like a used 84. not a pristine out of the box. So I would apply a lot of the same weathering techniques that I did to this one without all the extra bells and whistles and rickety racketa that comes with an Afterlife pack.
Yeah, that's
yeah, because Rennell's got the, you've got GP Star in there, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was going to be my next question is what electronics were you running in that pack?
I got, I was an early adopter of everything. So I've got like a first run Redmond board, motherboard on the back. I've got GP Star 1. I did put my own ESP32, so I do have the attenuator software running inside. It's not the board that they sell. I did get it for the actual attenuator. All the wiring is already in place for it, so it's an easy upgrade. I cracked open the shell of the pan myself and installed, the first generation of lights where you have to solder the wires. Like, I did a lot of that manual work, but up until recently, every upgrade you could get, I did. I have two wands. I have an Afterlife wand and I have a dirty 84 wand as well, both with GP Star boards in it, custom hose that I made. Between the two, I've got, again, custom cake inside as well. So it's got lights and everything. And, I'll have to send you guys some more photos of the inside, but, I've got a piece of plexiglass covering the inside of the cake. It's all 3D printed. What else? I have a, deconstructed talent cell. Kids, do not try this at home. If you are not comfortable dealing with voltages and batteries, do not try this. But I took a talent cell, took it all apart, shrink-tubed the cells themselves, extended where the controller goes. That's where the fiber optics come in, because there's like the battery status display.
Oh, okay.
So those are going to a custom-made panel inside of the snack box to tell me where my battery's at. All the switches are all custom-made. I went, again, over-engineered the dickens out of this thing.
Yeah, I don't think there's such thing in the Ghostbusters universe as over-engineering.
I know. I keep saying that until I have to troubleshoot or repair a thing, and then I'm like, you know what? You could have done this.
Why did I do this?
Yeah. And it's all self-inflicted. I'm the only one to blame.
Yeah, see, that makes sense though. You know. Yeah, no, it sounds incredible. I need to see a lot more photos of this. Did you take photos as you were going along on the build?
Oh yeah. I've got a whole album of just random photos, even just from the paints that I was using. Yeah.
I'm gonna need photos. To see all of it now. I'm gonna have to see okay. It. Yeah, I need the inspiration. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying about the inspiration, right? I mean, that's the majority of the people who do listen to this podcast are out there looking for that inspiration. I think that this is something that a lot of times people need to kind of feel. Maybe they're at that slump. They're at that wall, right? And they just don't know where to go. And
That Facebook group, man, I'm telling you, that is where so many of the ideas, and I was like, wow, I never would have thought of that. Some of the weathering and some of the stuff under the ribbon cable. There is parts that you can buy, There's a gentleman down in Mexico who made my bumper and my ion arm. I don't think he's making parts, but it's all hand machined aluminum, and I was just like, okay, cool.
Wow.
But then there's, what you do around all of that. There's a lot of stuff where you can take this to a next level. And those early months of the Afterlife packs are just gold for mods and ideas that don't necessarily involve adding extra pieces necessarily. It's really kind of working with what you've got access to, because we didn't have all of these extra mods and add-ons and stuff like that. The really nice bamboo printers were not as prevalent back then either. So, I printed this a lot with my Ender 3D or 3 Pro. Shout out to that printer. Who's got a new home?
Got a new home.
Yep. So it was really cool. I mean, the hours of just scrolling and saving all of these posts.
Yeah, that's cool thing that on Facebook specifically there are so many great. Of course, you got GB fans, which is out there and it's running strong. A lot of good stuff in that forum. But yeah, there's so many specialized Facebook groups mm-hmm. that are just for the HasLab pack. And then you've got the Spengler's Workbench 1984, which is, you talk about screen accurate. If it's anything remotely not screen accurate, they won't let you post it. Like, that's how dedicated that group is. But yeah, there's so many different options and resources out there for people to get involved and to do this stuff.
Contributors and people who are making these, you know, there's a person on there who's making all of these STLs for these different types of internal cyclotron cakes, these, you know, these adapters, the inside of the trap, like, and just for free, like, you know, and nothing against people who want to sell these as products. Totally. That is absolutely okay. People deserve to get paid for the work that they do. If they choose to be, you know, to get paid for these kinds of things. But again, you know, big shout out to the people who have just openly done this for the love of modding, for the love of Ghostbusters, for the love of putting something into the universe. You know, that's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that people are doing, and it's cool to see different perspectives and for it to all come together and to look as awesome as it is. Like, it's so fun and inspirational, really. And I keep going back to that because it is. I mean, you know, seeing all this, and especially in this day and age, you know, we've got the brand new animated series, which is going to be released hopefully here in the next few months, coming into 2027. I'm looking forward to seeing what equipment they have in there. Yeah. And I've heard, like, there's rumors, you know, when they talk about it, that their PKE meter that they have is used with parts from a very first PlayStation, which I thought was kind of awkward because the PlayStation didn't come out in 94. It came out in January of 95, I think. But how in the hell did they get their hands on that? I guess, from what I understand, you could have that imported, you know, from Japan when it came out. But
we'll see.
Well, I mean, listen, in the Ghostbusters universe, remember, Gozer showed up, Vigo showed up. That didn't happen here.
Yeah.
So maybe it took a little bit longer for us to get the PlayStation because of that.
You know what? That's true. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they do that. But talking about, like, PKE meters and stuff like that, are you guys still running those stock?
Negative, sir.
I knew what the answer was probably going to be, but I had to ask. What are you guys running when it comes to your PKE meters and your traps?
My PK is a HasLab 2 in the box. All right, great product, love it to death. But because of Spirits Unleashed, I really love the way that the PKE just kind of sits, just kind of floats on your belt in the game. So I took an old money clip and some electric tape, and I took the battery door off of the back of the PKE. I electric taped the money clip to it, and then I put that back on the PKE. I taped up the PKE and cut the tape where the battery door is. So it's kind of like a false synthetic wrap around the handle. And then I put a tiny zip tie in just to make sure it's not going to go anywhere. And then I, with that money clip, I can clip it right onto my, you know, my canvas belt, and it works. It looks just like the Spirits Unleashed gear.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, again, going back to the photos you sent, just looking at it now. Yeah. The way that it sits is perfect on there. I mean, it looks, yeah, straight out of the game. I mean, if you have not seen the game, you're missing out. Again, it's a lot of fun, but definitely seeing that, I mean, it looks iconic. Yeah,
that's and then for the trap, I actually got this idea from listening to your show that you had the NorCal guys on.
Yeah.
And I went on Amazon and I bought a drop leg tactical holster.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I put my trap holder on there, and it works great. It takes a lot of weight off your belt, like having it strapped to your thigh there. I've still got a little bit of tweaking to do because I had a pretty serious bruise on my knee after the first time of wearing it.
Oh, no.
We're getting there. It's all, you know, R&D time.
Yeah, no, Chris Nance with the NorCal Ghostbusters, yeah, his whole idea with that was that when, you know, you are out and you're trooping around and You got some kids who were obviously shorter and smaller than you. They want a picture. Well, you get down on one knee, and that right there is a perfect little help with a little release on your knee. And again, it also helps with that trap taking some weight off, too. So that's...
Yeah, and I did the same thing. I started wearing a single knee pad.
That's awesome.
On that side now, yeah. So I can get down on the knee, and I can take a knee with the kids. Such like, the NorCal guys, man, I love those dudes.
Yeah, they're giving me
so many great ideas.
Yeah, Chris and Greg, man, they are tearing it up over there. And if you haven't checked out their YouTube channel and you're looking, again, for more inspiration or to see what to do next to your pack, they're actually, I think by the time this is out, people are probably already seeing that they're working on their Frozen Empire pack. So it's mm-hmm. a process. All of their stuff is a cool process to go through and to check out, so definitely go do that. It's a lot of fun there.
And shout out Greg, go Bassmasters.
Yeah, that's right, he's on the team Bassmasters. That's right. I'm looking here too at the belt gizmo that you sent. Is that's one that you made yourself, right?
That's the first piece of gear. Like my wife bought me a spirit pack.
Uh-huh.
And I started piecing together my uniform, here and there. And I was like, I need a belt gizmo. And like, I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a big, big Ghostbusters fan. He's like, what the hell are you talking about, belt gizmo? And I was like, oh, dude, like, he's like,
you gotta know, blown away.
Yeah, how do you not know?
This piece of equipment even existed, you know? And so that's all handmade. That's a, that's all Value Village. That's like our Salvation Army kind of secondhand store up here. I just bought an old telephone. I pulled the guts out of it. Those are some like fairy lights that I stuck in pipettes. I went to Michael's and I bought pipettes. I cut the little bulb piece off the end and I jammed fairy lights in them. I glued all those pipettes together, glued that to the circuit board that I've got there. And then I found a perfect coiled cable, and I made a little tiny daughter board for it. And the daughter board, if you look real hard at the bottom part there, that's actually a Castlevania Game Boy Advance game on it. You can actually read the word Nintendo if you zoom in on there. And
God.
I just started running that. That's got like a little battery pack on the back of it. And I got a remote that I can change the colors. So it works. Nobody knows who knows what the thing does. Nobody, only ghost heads really know like what the thing's supposed to look like.
So right.
It's pretty in universe. It looks, it looks pretty good. It definitely does the trick when it's sitting on my belt, and it's like flashing little lights here and there. Like it just looks like a piece of gear.
Yeah, no, that it looks incredible. Yeah, great job on that. And did you say where the holster, what was that?
Oh, yeah, so the holster, if you look at that back piece, that is an actual, tape measure holster.
Oh, okay.
That just had a clip on it. And then this leather piece that goes across the front, that's uh-huh. a piece of foam that I just hot glued, that same place, Value Village, I bought, a cheap leather jacket just to have the leather from it. I made my my neck guard on the Alice frame.
Uh-huh.
I used foam for that, and I wrapped it in that leather and hot glued it down. Same for this. I just took a piece of foam, like a piece of yoga mat, and bent it around.
There you go.
And glued it down on there. So the whole thing looks like it's leather. When I stand next to people who have actual belt gizmos that they've 3D printed and stuff, yeah, it doesn't look that good. But if I'm just walking around, that thing definitely does the trick.
Dude, I think it looks incredible.
Same with my Ecto goggles. My Ecto goggles were $8 at Party City, and I tore them down, I sanded them down and stuff, I weathered them, I glued and screwed in little greebles all over it, and it does the trick. When it's on top of my head, they look pretty film accurate. They look like they've been sitting in a milk crate in the back of the firehouse for 40 years.
That's so cool. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, that stuff is neat, what people are able to come up with and just innovate. with their different contraptions and, you know, everything like that. Like, I love that. I think it's so much fun.
I got to leave all the engineering to dudes like Ronell. Like, I can't do the stuff that he's doing. So I bring to the table just like I can draw, I can paint, I can do the weathering, I can do this, I can do that. And I just come up with like ideas. Like we have our I think it's amazing. I think it's one of the best, you know, franchise logos out there. I just printed it on some stickers out of pocket. And it's like, yeah, you know what? Now we've got 500 stickers that we can just give out to people if we want.
That's awesome.
You know, just like we're going to be opening up a TeePublic store here soon where you'll be able to get like Capital Ghostbusters t-shirts. All that money is going to go to our charity, the Chio fundraising. And just anything that we can do to get more people enthusiastic about Ghostbusters, we're all about it, you know?
I love that. So much that you guys are doing that people can be a part of, you know, where can everybody go to get more information on the Capital Ghostbusters, support your work that you're doing with Geo, and keep up with the progress of this ECU? That's what I want to see. I'm looking forward to that too.
Well, our official website is capitalghostbusters.ca. But it's probably best if you try to find us on Facebook. Just search Capital Ghostbusters. And then I'm running a small Ghostbusters art project on Instagram. And you can find me at 613NoGhost. And just a couple, I put mostly like stories that I'm posting, but I'm putting up stuff like my, like different like little modding that I'm doing and my uniform, my flight suit stuff is all going to be on there. I'm going to do a whole process and show everybody what's going on there.
Awesome. You can do like little how-to videos and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd like to do something. We'd definitely like to start producing stuff on the side because we only have so many events throughout the year.
Yeah.
So it just to get eyes on our cause, we would like to start like producing more stuff just to get out there, like to, you know, show the Ghostbusters community like that we're out there and like get our names out there.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think that's incredible. Ronell, where can we find you at?
Well, I am usually in everybody else's posts.
I like that. That works.
I have a little bit less of a social media footprint, but you will see updates of the ECU. You will probably see more photos of some of the stuff that we've been working on pretty much anything that Ryan can snap a photo on. so just make sure you follow him and Capital Ghostbusters, and I'm one of the bald guys, if you can't tell.
I love it so much that you guys are doing out there. Great stuff and great work for charity, working on just providing some safe place for the ghosts to go when you guys capture them. I love that. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a ghost retirement home that we're revamping.
I like that. Yeah, like a little senior citizen center. That's right. That's cute. That's amazing. Awesome. I love it. Thanks you guys so much. Of course, we'll have all these pictures. Everything that we've talked about today is going to be over at benchtestedpod.com, including links over to all their socials and the website as well, benchtestedpod.com. One of my favorite things about conversations like today's is that they remind us this hobby has never been about who owns the most expensive gear or who has the most accurate props sitting on the shelf. It's about people willing to learn something new. It's about taking an idea that only exists in your head and figuring out how to make it real. It's about looking at a stock spirit pack or a HasLab pack and asking, what if? The Capital Ghostbusters embody that mindset. They're building incredible equipment, experimenting with new technology, giving back to their community through Chio, and proving that the best Ghostbusters franchises aren't defined by what they wear, but by what they contribute. If today's conversation inspired you to pick up a soldering iron, whether your first flight suit, print your first pack, maybe even your first part, or finally tackle that project that you've been putting off, then we've done exactly what this podcast was designed to do. A huge thank you to Ryan, aka McFonz, and Rennell for joining me and giving us an inside look at the work that they're doing behind the scenes. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, leave a review, and share the show with another builder, maker, or Ghostbusters fan. You can also find every episode, show notes, and more at benchtestedpod.com. Especially all the photos we talked about today. Quite a bit of those. Until next time, remember that the best builds don't come from having the biggest budget or fanciest tools. They come from curiosity, persistence, and the willingness to keep improving one piece at a time. I'm Charlie Harsh. You've been listening to Bench Testing, a Ghostbusters podcast.